Thanksgiving is one of my favorite and busiest holidays. When I was in college, someone wise, experienced, told me, never get married on a holiday weekend, because if you do, you never get to celebrate your anniversary. It's all about the holiday. Well, 23 years ago today, I was standing in front of a church with Charles and his father in front of our friends and family. Apparently, I didn't listen well, but when you're a seminary student and decide you're getting married, reading week is a good time because you have a week off of school. So we married the Saturday before Thanksgiving. 4 years later, we went out to celebrate our anniversary, and the nice hostess at Olive Garden looked at me and said, "Oh, ma'am, when are you due?" I said, 2 days ago. She looked at me and said, "I'll get the towels ready." 2 days later, Tristan entered our lives. So Thanksgiving week for us, we have our anniversary, we have Tristan's birthday, we have Thanksgiving. We party like crazy that week. Yeah. There is much to be thankful for. However, with that much busyness, sometimes it can be hard to be thankful. One thing just gets sucked into the next, and by the time you get to Thanksgiving, it's like, I'm tired, I'm stressed, I know I should be thankful, Lord, but I just don't feel thankful. And I will admit, that's kind of the way I have felt the last couple of weeks. I know Thanksgiving's coming, but there's so much going on. I'm just overwhelmed and stressed, and Lord, I want to be thankful. The things that bring us joy can bring us stress, and life is hard. It can be difficult to be thankful. When Pastor Jim asked me to speak tonight, I thought, oh, he asked me to speak last year at the Thanksgiving service, but COVID. So I thought, oh, I've got to have a sermon on my computer from last year, right? Nope. I hadn't started writing it before we canceled the service. So I was praying about it, and the Lord brought to mind the scripture that I was going to use last year. I was very happy to see this up here this morning, because this is what the Lord brought to mind. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. When that first came to mind, I thought, okay, I know it's in the Psalms, but where in the Psalms? So I started using my Bible app and putting in keywords, and you can find give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, or some version of it, and his faithful love endures forever. In 1 Chronicles 16, 2 Chronicles chapters 5, 7, and 20, Ezra 3, Psalms 106, 107, 118, 136, and 138, and Jeremiah 33. Now, I don't know about you, but when I see something more than once in the Bible, it makes me pay attention because, you know, I think God's got something to say there. However, when you discover that the words his faithful love endures forever are in the Old Testament over 40 times, you consider maybe God is trying to say something to you. So I picked Psalm 136. Many years ago when I was pastoring in Columbus City, I remember using it as a responsive reading. And if you look at Psalm 136, it is perfect for responsive reading because every verse ends with, His faithful love endures forever. 26 times you read what God has done, and you are reminded his faithful love endures forever. The first three verses say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His faithful love endures forever." Did you notice anything about these verses when it comes to being thankful? As I read them and reread them and thought about them and prayed about them, a couple of things really struck me. First, in these verses, giving thanks is not about what we have or about what God has done. And I think sometimes that's our immediate thing. What are you thankful for? Well, God has met my financial needs. God kept me safe when that deer ran out in front of me. It's about the things that have happened or what God has done. And that is important. But the first thing the psalmist says is give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He is the God of gods, the Lord of lords. It is all about God and God alone. When we come to the Thanksgiving table and we share what we are thankful for, how often is it about what we have or what has happened to us? And as I said, very important to be thankful for that. We are thankful for good health and restored health. I know I am. We are thankful for safety throughout the year. We are thankful for jobs, activities, friends, and family. And these are all wonderful things. And they are all things that we should be thankful for. But David starts the psalm with praise and thanksgiving very differently. He starts with God, with God's character, with who God is. How often do we give thanks to the Lord, for he is good? Or we give thanks to the Lord because he is holy, he is loving, he is righteous, he is just, he is merciful. Our thankfulness is grounded in who God is. When we can't find anything else to be thankful for, we have God. And we can be thankful for who God is. So if you're finding it hard to give thanks, start with God and who he is. If you're finding it easy to be thankful, start with God and who he is. The second thing that struck me in these verses, as well as the other 39 occurrences I mentioned before, is the statement, his faithful love endures forever. How often in the midst of trials, illness, struggles, a bad day, week, month, year, have we given thanks to God simply because his faithful love endures forever? The Hebrew word that is translated faithful love is hesed, which actually it encompasses a whole lot, but it means covenant faithfulness. I had a professor say that it's translated love, mercy, loving kindness, forgiveness, and covenant faithfulness. Because if it wasn't translated in all those ways, and because it encompasses all of that, the Bible would just keep saying, God's covenant faithfulness, God's covenant faithfulness, God's covenant faithfulness. And out of God's covenant faithfulness is his love, his mercy, his loving kindness. That word is used 248 times in the Old Testament. I love that term, covenant faithfulness, mostly because I love the idea of covenant. And I don't have any of my Sunday school kids in here, I don't think. So I will ask you guys, because I know the Sunday school kids know. You know what a covenant is? We talk about the covenant of marriage. Well, a covenant is an unbreakable promise. Every time we come to the Lord's table, we remember the covenant that Jesus made with us. And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many." We live in a time where promises are made to be broken, and faithfulness seems to last only as long as someone doesn't get a better offer. But God made us an unbreakable covenant promise. God loves us. He saved us through Jesus Christ. We break the promise. We break our side of the promise. We sin. We ignore God sometimes. We let other things take his place in our lives. That doesn't change God's part of the covenant. He still loves us. He still has mercy on us. So I think covenant faithfulness, a faithful love that endures forever, that's something to be thankful for. Our thankfulness is rooted in who God is and in his covenantal love and faithfulness to that, to us. Built on that foundation, we get to proclaim what God has done for us. The Bible is full of commands to remember, and it is full of stories of Israel and the church remembering all that God has done. If we keep looking at Psalm 136, the psalmist is, through song, reciting the mighty acts of God done on behalf of humanity as a whole, and the people of Israel in particular. And those statements of "this is what God has done" start with, "Give thanks to him who alone does mighty miracles, made the heavens so skillfully, placed the earth among the waters, made the heavenly lights, the sun and the moon." That's what God has done for every person who has ever walked the face of this earth. He's given us this incredible creation to live in. And then the psalmist goes on to what God did for Israel. Killed the firstborn of Egypt, brought Israel out of Egypt, acted with a strong hand and powerful arm, parted the Red Sea, led Israel safely through, hurled Pharaoh and his army into the sea, led the people through the wilderness. He struck down kings. He gave the land as an inheritance. He remembered us in our weakness. He saved us from our enemies. He gives food to every living thing. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Israel, as a people, look back and proclaim the story of what God has done. And it's not history. It's what God does for them. We as Christians look back and we proclaim what Jesus has done. We look back at the history of the church and we see how God has worked. And we proclaim it as our story. Thanksgiving is an opportunity to look over the past year or more and to tell the story of what God has done. Every time we share our stories of thankfulness, we remind ourselves of how God has worked in our lives. Every time we remind ourselves of God's faithfulness, we are reminded that our faith is grounded in Christ and in his mighty power. This morning, People shared their testimonies of what God has done. It's a time to look back and be thankful and to be reminded that the God who did that is still at work. Most of us have a time, or several times, that we look back to and say, this is when I saw God at work. I was thinking about it, and there are many times that I could share. But in particular, when Charles and I were in Sioux Falls, the 2 years that we were there were faith-building years. The second year, we had 3 hospitalizations, 5 surgeries, an anaphylactic allergy, more respiratory illnesses than I can remember. We had a round of tornadoes that lasted for 8 hours. Thankfully, where we were wasn't damaged. Charles was in Wyoming, and some of the men and women in his National Guard unit lost their towns. They were just flattened. But our area of Sioux Falls was spared. I came down with MRSA pneumonia, which caused a softball-size abscess in my lung. And it required a week in the hospital and an infectious disease specialist coming in every 12 hours going, the antibiotics don't work. We have to try something else. After 5 days, he finally found something that took out the infection, but sent me home with an antibiotic that cost $3,400 a month. And I had to be on it for 6 weeks. So that's $5,100. The church paid Charles $100 a week. My antibiotics for 6 weeks took out our entire year of pay. Charles at the time was trivocational. He worked the church, he had the National Guard, and he worked for an after-school program, which provided most of our income. In December, he slipped and fell and tore the tendons or the ligaments in his ankle, I don't remember which one it is, and had to take a couple of days off following surgery. The after-school program fired him. So we decided after he had healed that I would go back to work. My first day of work, my new boss called me into her office and said, you have a phone call. It was my doctor saying, your biopsy came back as suspicious for cancer. We have to do surgery. And in the midst of all of this, we were still waiting for the hospital bills from Tristan's birth and Nick Eustay to get paid, because the guy who was in charge of the insurance ran off with the money from the insurance. There was another church that rented our building. While Charles was on the couch after surgery, pastors came over and said, we can't be in the church at night. There is a demon in there. Now, isn't that what every pastor wants to hear? Is your church is demon possessed? We came home from the zoo, and we found a hole in our back patio. And I don't mean a small hole. I mean there was an 8-foot deep, about 4x4 hole in the patio where the boys played. There was an unused cistern under there, and it rained, and it washed out the dirt and collapsed our back patio. And to add to that, the shingles that were supposed to go on our roof were now at the bottom of the hole. In the midst of all of this, I looked at Charles and I said, you know, I know our wedding vows said for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness or in health. We've had the worse, the poorer, and the sickness. You think maybe we could get some of that better, richer, and healthier part? after that litany of woes. And as I said, this is the year that I look back to, and I go, how did we get through it? It was one thing after another. And to be honest, I didn't realize it at the time. It wasn't until about 5 or 6 years ago, I sat down and I started thinking, and I'm like, wait a minute. This all happened in like a 3-month period. And then we had a little break, and then this all happened in a 3-month period. And then there was this little break. But in the midst of all of it, and now, I can say God was present in the troubles. There are a multitude of little stories that showed God's handiwork. And a few stories of his intercession in ways we couldn't explain. After Charles's surgery and losing his after-school program job, his National Guard commander came over to the house and handed him grocery cards. They had taken a collection among the officers to provide us with groceries while he was laid up. Then he found him a desk job during the week to help earn some money. That eventually turned into a full-time statewide job. So he didn't have to replace his after-school program job. God knew that he already had it in place. Shortly before Christmas, which our boys were only 1 and 2 at the time, so they probably wouldn't have missed Christmas. They were too young to know, you know, the Christmas tree and all that. It's fun, but they wouldn't have really missed it. We talked about, is it worth lugging that tree up the stairs, setting it up? We decided to do it. We got a phone call from the post office asking us to come pick up a box. And it was a huge box. In fact, it barely fit in the front seat of my van. There was no return address, no note, no explanation. Nobody ever told us where it came from. The box was filled with toys for toddler boys. And it just so happens we had a 1 and almost 3-year-old. Isn't that ironic? Or maybe it was God providing because he knew we couldn't. We learned to rely on God's provision and grace because we were powerless to help ourselves during that time. And it's a good reminder for us now, even when we think we can do it ourselves, in truth, we are still powerless. We rely upon God's grace and his provision. I look back to those days, and I remember with thankfulness all that God has done for us. And I am even thankful for the surgeries, the ambulance ride, the pneumonia, the collapsed cistern, because I got to see God at work in ways that I wouldn't have without those experiences. So when we tell our stories, we remind ourselves of how God has worked. But when we tell our stories, we also build up the body of Christ. Perhaps there is someone who needs to hear your story. Your stories of thankfulness, because you went through situations similar to what they're going through. Maybe there is someone who needs to hear you praising God in the midst of the storm because they need to know that God is good and his faithful love endures forever. Maybe you need to hear those stories from others. That's one of the reasons why when we share the stories of thankfulness like we did this morning, it is so beneficial, not only for the one who is speaking, but for the one who is listening, It builds the body. Testimony of thankfulness, testimony of God's power, it builds up the church. You know, God knows God is good. He knows he is powerful. He spoke the worlds into existence. But he gives us the opportunity to share that with others. So as we go into this Thanksgiving week, I will leave you with the prayer that David wrote many times. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Amen.